GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show, and it's not just that we missed your voice, Julie Rabinowitz. It's just great to have you back on the radio here for the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. Gee, she's right on line three if you want to be the first to say good morning to her.
Well, hello, Julie, again.
Hello, George, and hello, Rick, and I'm happy to be back, and hope you all had a great start of the new year.
We're working on it.
Yeah, it's been okay.
We haven't killed each other yet.
Rick and I have both been checking our high school and college yearbooks to see if there's anything in there.
That did run through my mind, too. In fact, when I started at the Department of Labor almost 7 years ago now, which is kind of scary, one of the staff went online to my hometown library, and my yearbook's actually online, and found my photo and tweeted it at me, and I thought that was pretty hilarious. So they're out there.
There are a lot of people in the attic right now rummaging through trying to find their yearbooks. Mm. But anyway,
we wanted to catch it. This is New Job Friday. We're going to call it that. We just had Terry Hayes on, the former state treasurer. She's got a new gig as a director of workforce development for Hospitality Maine. And we wanted to check in and find out what you're up to with an organization that we used to talk quite a bit about. What's going on with you, Jules?
So I have started as the director of policy and communication for Maine People Before Politics. And we announced our relaunch yesterday. The group was originally formed after Governor LePage's transition team and his inauguration in 2011 after he was initially elected. And that group, over time, different people have led it, including Lauren, the governor's daughter, and it did a lot of advocacy on issues. It's not a PAC. It's really about focusing on issues related to Maine's economy. So it did some issue promotion around paying off the hospital debt, which was a big issue in the governor's first term, and also his tax cut that ultimately passed. And now that the governor's retired, and I know you are going to talk to him on Tuesday next week, that he wants to remain active. Obviously, he's been very vocal about that. And I had a reporter ask me earlier in the week, you know, is he concerned about his legacy? And he's not concerned about his legacy because he doesn't really feel, you know, personal ownership of things. What he really is concerned about is that Maine's economy continues to move forward, that we don't see a return to declining manufacturing jobs and, you know, that disproportionately affect rural parts of the state, that we are making sure that, you know, our wages are rising and that we're not, you know, that we're decreasing taxes, not raising taxes, that we're remaining competitive with the other states. So those are the kinds of issues that Maine People Before Politics are going to focus on. Those are the issues that I spent a lot of time on, you know, growing our economy, growing our workforce, attracting folks to Maine when I was at the Department of Labor. And we're going to continue to do that. And we have Mike Hersey joining us, and he's been working. He's kind of the development and operational person, and I'm the spokesperson and policy person. But we're really taking our direction from the governor. He's the honorary chair. He's not an employee of Maine People Before Politics, and he is not a voting member of the board. He's ex officio. So, but he is there leading us. And in terms of the policy direction that we'll take, and we may venture out into some areas that we feel are important and things that he had not, you know, really addressed in his term. It kind of depends on what issues are happening here in the state of Maine. But we're going to be looking at the budget. We're going to be looking at the way Medicaid expansion gets funded. We're very concerned about ensuring that the work requirements that were tied to various welfare programs, especially TANF and food stamps or FSET, remain, because we think that those were very effective and they kept people in the workforce and gave them skills and job training that helped them get better jobs and helped our employers meet their workforce needs. So all of those are things are good. We were concerned when the Medicaid work waiver was denied by the Mills administration, but we're going to continue to kind of watch those issues.
Well, you have Brent Littlefield as your media consultant, and everybody's pretty much tied to the last administration. So as we look at this group, and we've worked with you before, is this kind of an opposition group to, can I describe this as a conservative thinking or think tank? Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, you're very generous, George, because it's a think tank of, like, me and Mike. So I wouldn't call, you know, we're not really, we're certainly not really a think tank as much as we have access to subject matter experts. We know how to, you know, read the budget. We understand the legislative process. There's other think tanks and other grassroots organizations in the state of Maine that do great work, and we want to help promote what they're doing too, and just really be a messaging vehicle and a more grassroots organizing eventually. I think that we're kind of a hybrid of those kinds of institutions, but the governor really wants it to be a big tent organization and be a home for people who are really focused on economic issues and economic freedom and free markets.
You see, as you say that, I wondered that if I were sitting over at the Maine Heritage Policy Center, I'd be reading the news release and going, okay, what are you going to be doing that I'm not already doing?
Well, they are focused on a lot more research and putting out papers, and that's really important, and we need that in Maine. And I cannot sit and write all those research papers. I just don't have the resources. And I think that the point is for us to continue to grow the organization, but to really be, to use, you know, we want to use the reach of the governor. The governor has, you know, more than 45,000 followers on Facebook, and he still has access to media. And it's important that we resource those leverages to continue to promote these kinds of policies.
Well, you're not a PAC, but under the rules, whatever it is, 501(c), whatever that is, you can raise money, and you don't have to particularly announce where the money came from. Is that right?
No, we have some generous private donations that have allowed us to kick this off, and we do, you know, we have a donate button on the website if anyone wants to support this initiative of the governor's, but we don't have to disclose the donor list. We're not here to hide dark money. I am what I am and what I've been for the past 7 years, and I'm just trying to help move Maine's economy forward. We're just there to help bring attention to people on issues that they may care about.
We're talking with Julie Rabinowitz.
We're not going to support or oppose candidates. Individual candidates like a PAC would.
With Maine People Before Politics, the nonprofit supports public policy, moving Maine's economy forward, protecting individual liberty, and we can imagine that many involved with Maine People Before Politics will be very interested when Governor Janet Mills releases her plan for a 2-year budget today. Has there been any talk about that amongst the group?
Yeah, we're going to be watching that very closely. You know, the governor, before he left office, put out his own, you know, recommended budget, including a 20% tax cut that would return the bulk of the surplus back to Maine people, because that's their money. They worked hard for it and they paid for it, and it shouldn't be viewed as a windfall for the state to use on other projects. And so we really need to make sure that we have to be competitive with New Hampshire. We have to be competitive with Massachusetts. And Massachusetts has a lower tax, has a lower tax rate than the state of Maine for personal income. So are we doing the things that are going to make Maine competitive when we talk about needing workers? Signs at the border are all well and good, but money talks when people are looking at how much their take-home pay is going to be and what their cost of living is. And if you have to pay more for energy and you have to pay more in taxes versus living in Portsmouth or Kittery, there's a lot of people choosing Portsmouth. We don't need to, we want to make that choice a more equal and level playing field.
Well, you have a little bit of a rebuild job financially for the organization. And the reality is, of course, after the last election, the Blaine House, you lost because the governor was turned out, and then the Democrats won the Blaine House, but they also won the House and the Senate. And So we're not into divided government at the moment. So it makes it a little much of an uphill battle for you right now for some of the things you want.
Oh, yeah. And believe me, and I completely understood that taking this job. But when the governor says, do they want you to come work for me? You know, the sitting governor, it's hard to say no. And I enjoy working for him. Despite the angry photos in the media, he's a very nice person to work for. And I know that, you know, we don't have a brick and mortar office right now. I'm working a lot out of my home, which let me just say that my children really have enjoyed me being around the past month, working, asking questions like, what are you getting out of the refrigerator again? We're eating dinner in a half an hour. But we're working on that. We're working to build that organization, and it's going to take time, and we're going to be selective about the issues that we really push hard on, because we don't have the, you know, we're not the main People's Alliance, but that for the Progressive Voice is a very important organization, and they also have, you know, the Maine Center for Economic Policy, which is another, you know, their liberal economic think tank. And so if we on this side can have Maine Heritage Policy Center as the conservative economic think tank, and then Maine People Before Politics to be that, we can work with Eric Brakey and his new group in terms of grassroots organizing. We want to be that partner, and we're just going to continue to build. It's a building year. You know, in sports, there's always a rebuilding year. This is definitely our rebuilding year, but we've got a great team, and we're gonna push.
Julie Rabinowitz with Maine People Before Politics. We're wondering if there is a specific move so far with the Mills administration that you folks on your team are watching with perhaps the greatest concern of what impact it might have. I mentioned the budget that unveils today, and whether or not some of the campaign promises that Janet Mills made, which on the surface seem to indicate we're going to have to find the money to do it somewhere, so there's going to be some increased spending, and it may result in taxes. But are there any moves so far that has Maine People Before Politics concerned and watching closely?
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of that's going to come out in the budget. You know, the structural gap, which was the money, you know, what the statute requires and what the legislature has funded, there's usually been a gap of money where we haven't met the statutory obligations, because you can't spend what you don't have. And so looking at that going into this budget year, that's $500 million over the biennium. And there were a number of calls to fully fund that. They were I know that during the debates, both candidate Mills and candidate Hayes questioned those numbers, but those numbers come out of the budget office, the same budget office that's working on the budget that's going to be released today. So we feel pretty confident that it's $500 million. And how you promise that you're going to find that money without raising taxes is extremely, the math doesn't add up. So we're looking at that. And then when you add on to the existing structural gap, the cost of a universal pre-K adding, how Medicaid expansion is going to be funded, those are the kinds of things that we're looking at. And certainly also the welfare work rules, because we've already seen the move to not implement the waiver for the work requirements for able-bodied adults under Medicaid, and that includes Medicaid expansion. So those are the kinds of things that we're very concerned about at this point.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.